We are currently working our way through a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed. It's a part of our worship where we join the church throughout the ages in as an act of worship, stating what we believe to be true. And we're looking at the phrases of the Apostles' Creed and what it really means and what we're really saying we believe. This morning, we're looking at the phrase, Maker of heaven and earth. Now, there is a debate that has been going on, sometimes not civilly, other times civilly, for decades on science versus faith. That's not what we're going to talk about today. I am not qualified for that. We don't have the setting for that, nor do we have the time for that message this morning. If you are interested in that, I have two resources that I would point you to. One is a book called The Language of God, and it's written by Francis Collins, who led the Human Genome Project and is currently the executive director of the National Institute of Health. He knows his science. He also is a believer in Jesus Christ, and he expertly presents his case for why he believes faith and science do not have to be at odds, but live together in a logical construct. He is one of those scientists, much like Tony Atala here in our community, in our congregation, who can take very complex ideas and facts in science and make them relatable. And I need that relatability. The other book is a book by a guy named Lee Strobel, whose first book was The Case for Christ, which chronicled his coming to faith as an atheist journalist as he simply researched what does it mean to believe in Christ. One of his subsequent books is The Case for the Creator, where he does interviews with people who are experts in science and lays out the case for God as creator. But this morning, I want us to look at what Scripture says about God as creator and how it applies to our lives here today, because when we come to church on Sundays, and we sit through a message, and sometimes it's harder to sit through them than it should be. I admit that. The outcome should be it helps us live life as a follower of Christ. So this morning, I hope to be able to at least give you some tools that might help you be a more effective and a person growing deeper in their relationship with Christ based on how we look at God, the Creator. Isaiah was a prophet. Now, prophets are people who speak for God. In the Old Testament, we have books of prophets, and those were men and women who spoke to God's people, Israel. They often were unpopular because they would call people to repentance, call people back to God as they had wandered away. And this morning, as we look at the 40th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah's writing to a people who have been in exile. He's writing to a people who are beginning to question, where's God in all of this? And God speaks to Isaiah and says, speak to my people. And in the 40th chapter of Isaiah, beginning at the 21st verse, we find these words that we're going to look at together right after we pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. We're grateful that it instructs us. We're grateful that it is our rule for faith and for life. And we pray this morning that your spirit might speak to us through the words of Isaiah, and that your word might take root in our hearts. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen. Isaiah says, do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught and reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither and whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. We're going to stop right there for a second. Remember, Isaiah is speaking to people who are questioning, where's God in all of this? Where's God in my life today as an exile? I hear about God being good. I hear about God caring about me. But I'm essentially a slave. I've been conquered. I don't see a whole lot of hope for the future. And Isaiah begins his word from God by going, do you not understand? Have you not heard? Who do you think made everything that's around you? It's God who sets the skies like a tent. Remember, at this time in history, they had no concept that the world was round. And the sky in their frame of thinking was like a tent that went from horizon to horizon above them. He said that the one who made that tent that you look up and see, it's God. And the circumstances that have you questioning where God is in all this, because the rulers of the land where you find yourself are nothing compared to God. In fact, they're subject to him. He allows them to rise. He allows them to fall. And when he allows them to fall, they're going to wither. And the wind's going to come and they're going to blow away like dust. Isaiah, I believe, is saying in the opening words to the word that he has for God's people is a word that applies to us today, I believe. It's look up. Look up. That's a word for us today, because if you just observe most people walking around today, they walk around like this, right? And it's not with the Bible. It's with their cell phone. Sarah Gray and I were on vacation recently. And the scenery was magnificent in the British Isles. But I noticed that most people weren't really looking at the scenery by doing this. They were looking at the scenery by doing this. I've actually seen people walk into poles because they're doing this. Some major cities in our country are painting on the sidewalk now. Look up. God says to his people, look up. Raise your gaze. You see, when we start to lose hope, when we start to question the circumstances we find ourselves in, it's almost human instinct to curl up. And when we curl up, we look down and we don't look up. Isaiah says, look up, raise your gaze. And when you do, you see what God has created, what is all around you. For the kids in the room, anybody go on summer vacation this year? Raise your hand if you went on summer vacation. Yeah. Anybody go to the beach? Yeah. Now, when you were at the beach, did you stop and go, that's a lot of water? And when you looked out, it's all you could see. Did you go, wow? And begin to think about Who created that ocean? Maybe you got up really, really early, and I'm sure your parents were thrilled by that on vacation. And you may have seen the sun come up. Did you stop for a minute and go, wow? Wow. If we raise our gaze, Scripture tells us that all of creation testifies. It testifies as to exactly where God is. He is at work in our world. Isaiah goes on. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls forth each of them by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you complain, my people? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. Let's stop right there. I believe Isaiah speaks another word to God's people, but also to us today, and that's remember. Remember. You see, the Old Testament is about remembering. It's about remembering whose we are and remembering what God has done and God is doing. That's the story of Scripture. Who God is, what God is doing, and what God is going to do. Remember, remember. Remembering is powerful. It's powerful. We're getting ready to enter a season in our country of a season of remembering. That's how I think of the Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays. It's remembering. Thanksgiving, we gather with our families. We gather with the people who mean something to us, and we remember the goodness of God. We remember his blessing. Sometimes, as families, we remember those who aren't with us anymore. And in doing so, we remember who we are. We look around and we go, this is me. This is my family. These are my people. And together we remember God's goodness to us. The Jewish people to this day remember far better than we do as Christians. Far better. Christmas, let's be honest. We muddy that up, don't we, as Christians? We make it about the gifts. We make it about the tree. In the Jewish tradition, they remember. They remember the hard times. They remember the good times. They remember God's deliverance. And it's their story. Even if they never spent 40 minutes, much less 40 years in a desert, they remember it. Because it happened to their family. It happened to them because of that. Remembering is powerful. And I believe Isaiah is saying to God's people in chapter 40, and he's saying to us today, remember. Remember the fact that God has always been with you. Remember the fact that God is good. And the one that we proclaim week after week as the maker of heaven and earth, remember back in Genesis, as he made all that we know and even that our minds can't fathom, he stopped and he said, at each point along the way, it's good. It's good. And he didn't say it wasn't good until he realized that human beings needed to be in a relationship with one another. And we had male and female as a result of God going, it's not good for them to be alone. And then he said, it's good. Remember that God who created that ocean that you played in, that counts every grain of sand that you built a sandcastle out of, and that you washed off your feet before they'd let you back in the beach house. God counts, and God created. Remember. Raise your gaze. Look up. Remember. And he goes on. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew your strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. In essence, Isaiah says to God's people who were saying, where's God in all of this? Is he still here? Is he still with us? He says, take heart. Take heart. Because when you're tired, when you're weary, when you're hopeless, know this, God is not. Because the same one who created is still watching over his creation today, and he takes great pleasure in what he has created, and he cares for it. That's hard for us sometimes to fathom, isn't it? Anybody remember when your children were really little, or your grandchildren were really little, and they loved to do the same thing over and over and over and over again? I have seen grandparents laid waste by this. As human beings, we tire with monotony, don't we? But G.K. Chesterton, in his book Orthodoxy, one I would commend to you, said, suppose for just a minute that God takes the time to create every single daisy. They're exactly alike. But he takes joy in creating each one. And he creates one and he says, do it again. And of the next one, he says, do it again. Perhaps God doesn't tire of telling the sun to rise and telling the sun to set and the moon to follow. But he takes joy in it. And he says, do it again. Do it again. There are those who would tell you, okay, I'll give you. There was intelligent design to creation. But any being that intelligent is going to get bored and has certainly moved on to something else. Isaiah's words of not growing weary and not growing faint point us to take heart, because God does not tire. God has not lost interest in his creation. God has not lost interest in where you are in your life. It was a word Isaiah gave from God to God's people thousands of years ago, but it's a word that we live, because the living word testifies that God cares and that God is with us, because he put on flesh and left the throne of heaven where creation took root to be with us. Because God understands that in the human experience, we get tired and we get hopeless and we begin to faint. But our God is one that says, I understand. I understand the life that you live. Because I put on flesh to live it with you. And to do what you can never do with your life. And that is restore a right relationship with him through Jesus Christ. Take heart wherever you are right now. Because you may be just like Israel thousands of years ago going, where's God in all this? Where's God in this medical diagnosis? Where's God in this legal proceeding? Where's God in the relationship that I'm afraid is crumbling around me? Where's God in the class that I'm failing? Take heart. He's with you in the person of Jesus Christ. Because God is a creator who created and said, it's good. And has never tired of caring for every aspect and every being he ever created. Lift your gaze, look around, remember, and take heart. Because the Creator God is still at work. In the person of Jesus Christ, who today, if you don't know him, is willing to be your Savior. And to give you hope. And to give you new life that can only come from the Creator of all that we know. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth. Thanks be to God. Father, we are grateful. We are grateful that as our Maker, you didn't simply make all that we know and including us and walk away bored, but that you take great pleasure in your creation and you care for this world. We're grateful, Lord, that you care so much you wouldn't leave us alone, but that you would put on flesh in the person of Jesus Christ to be with us, to do what we couldn't do for ourselves. May we raise our gaze, Father, to heaven and nature and every atom of creation testifying to you as our Creator and our good God. May we remember your goodness, your care, and that you are with us. And may we take heart, for it's in Christ that we know you, and it's in Christ that we have new life. In his name we pray. Amen.